Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I am here with attorney Joseph Roble from Joseph Roble Limited, the Chicago bankruptcy law firm. This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Update, featuring information, news, and updates in bankruptcy law. Financial troubles are stressful, and bankruptcy can be a solution for you. If you're considering filing a bankruptcy, Joseph Roble will courteously and professionally review your finances and answer all your questions and provide you the information you need to allow yourself to decide if bankruptcy makes sense, if it has value, and if it's the best way to provide relief from your financial woes. Don't forget that the on-demand links to all of our episodes in this program are available on the Chicago Bankruptcy Law Firm website, is chicagobankruptcy.com. You can also find all of our programs on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for the firm as well, and links to those are all located on the chicagobankruptcy.com website. Today's program is Bankruptcy Basics: Danger in Attempting Bankruptcy Without a Lawyer. We're going to talk about today, we'll cover what happens when people try to pursue a bankruptcy case doing what is called pro se, which means without a lawyer or on your own. We'll talk about why the bankruptcy courts treat everyone with the assumption that they know the laws, why there's no do-over or reset button on final decisions in bankruptcy courts, and how a bankruptcy attorney may be able to repair some but not all of the damage of people who try to save some money and go it alone. Joseph Roble is on the program with me today, and he's been a practicing attorney since 1973 and has experience in a wide variety of legal matters relating to individuals and families. He presently concentrates his practice in consumer bankruptcy. Mr. Roble helps clients get out of debt and get a fresh financial start. He is an active member in several bar associations and on the bankruptcy panel of the pro bono program of the Chicago Volunteer Legal Services. Mr. Roble earned a BA in psychology from Northwestern University in 1973. He earned a JD from DePaul University Law School. He also served in the U.S. Army Reserve 363rd Civil Affairs Unit. My short disclaimer before we get going, this is a general information program, and any of the advice shared on the show does not constitute legal advice. If you need specific help or have specific questions, you're encouraged to call the bankruptcy law firm of Joseph Roble Limited to make an appointment to speak with an attorney by dialing 312-781-0996. Again, 312-781-0996. Finally, all callers remain confidential. Rights broadcast are reserved. All right, Joe, today we are talking about some stories, and I know all lawyers like to talk about war stories and things that happen, things that you see over time, but today we're going to focus in on what happens when people file bankruptcy without a lawyer. We've got some horror stories here of people who tried to save themselves some money, tried to do a little bit of their own research, and did not use an attorney, and got themselves in some hot water, so to speak. So let's talk about this, Joe.
Well, starting from the scratch, everybody is looking to save money in whatever they do, whether it's hiring an attorney, doing something in the law, buying a car, buying cereal at the grocery store. And many times it's pretty simple to do. A box of Cheerios, you can compare prices and buy it at the store that has the cheapest price. But then you have to factor in how much further may you have to drive to the other store. So it's never always that simple. And when you're talking about the law, simple is the last thing that you'll see in dealing with legal decisions to make. Almost everything that one can do in the law can be done without an attorney. And almost everything that one can do in the law should never be done without an attorney. And the reason is that attorneys are trained to deal with legal matters. None of us, let's say most of us, are not any smarter than anybody else. Of course, we have some geniuses in the law, as every field, but I'm not any more intelligent than the clients that I represent. The difference between my clients and me is that I have experience, I've been trained, I've learned, and I know what to do in the consumer bankruptcy field. I've seen, and this is actually quite recently, in the last few months, I had three clients come to see me or call me on the phone with problems resulting from being penny wise and pound foolish, basically trying to save money. Let's do it myself. You know, I'm smart enough. I can learn online. I can look in the books. I can figure out what to do. And I'm going to do my own bankruptcy, and I'll spend more time, but I'll spend less money.
Mm-hmm. You know, Joe, if I can jump in there, I've seen
sure.
this in not only bankruptcy, but also family law and other types of things where everybody knows that person who did it all themselves. I know in family law where I used to work, we had a lot of people who'd say, well, I know my friend down the street ended up firing her lawyer and she did everything on her own and she turned out just fine. Well, you know, in some cases that's possible, but, you know, the danger is when you have someone who is an educated professional who doesn't work in that specific area, you think, well, I'm able to do research and figure things out on my own. But they even with lawyers, they say lawyers should have other lawyers represent them in court. Case in point, I know someone who is trying to do, she's a family law attorney in a state that neither of us are in, but she's trying to do her own divorce right now. And her judge keeps telling her, you're too emotional, you're too close to the subject matter, have someone else with an objective look at this, represent you because you're too close to it. It's your own thing. So even that element makes it difficult and problematic for people to represent themselves in a bankruptcy without an attorney. And, you know, like Joe said, we're all smart. We can all figure out to do things. And we were talking before the show today, I had mentioned about a plan that I saw about a picnic table that I wanted to build. Now, I could go get all the pieces of wood and put it all together, but I'm not skilled in making those cuts the certain way. And it might take me a lot longer. I might have a kind of a wonky, wobbly table. It might as well just get the table done correctly. So that's really what we're focusing on today. It's not that the bankruptcy attorneys have a secret handshake or a secret code to get behind the curtain like in The Wizard of Oz. It's all about years of experience.
Well, and the other thing also is what are the consequences of a mistake? So if you ruin the piece of wood, you can go out and buy another one. If you cut yourself with a saw, you can learn how to use the saw properly. But once your bankruptcy is filed and it turns out that you have an asset that the trustee is going to take from you and you go, whoops, I didn't want to do that. Can we stop everything? It's oftentimes too late. You know, yeah, there's an old saying, and some old sayings have value, an old saying that he who represents himself in court, nowadays it should also be he or she, has a fool for a client. So it makes a lot of sense. And you know, and there's also differences in the law. A simple divorce, no children, no property to divide, no assets to divide. A simple divorce of that nature is very simple. A simple bankruptcy is never, ever simple.
Let's hear about some people who learned the hard way.
Okay, so the first one is a really, it's almost wacky in a way. I told this particular client that in over 40 years of practicing that his story was the most astonishing thing I ever heard in my life. So he called me up and told me that he's got a problem and is going to court the following week. And the trustee assigned to his case, this is a Chapter 13 where he was repaying creditors, filed a motion asking the bankruptcy judge to bar this particular client from ever, ever filing a bankruptcy again for the rest of his life. Now, I have not heard of this. I can't say I've heard of everything in the law, but it certainly sounded unusual. So I said to the client, you have probably filed a number of cases over the last few years. He says, yes, I filed a lot of them. And did you do them on your own? He filed all of them on his own. Initially, the first one was a Chapter 13 to stop a foreclosure and repay past due mortgage, which is a very, very common reason for filing a Chapter 13. So while he was on the phone, I got information from him. I looked up his cases, and what astonished me was in a four-year period through May of 2015, he had filed 10 different bankruptcies, Chapters 13, Chapter 7. None of them were ever completed. They were all dismissed. So I looked at the motion that was coming up next week, and the trustee stated in the motion that in a previous case in 2014, that judge entered a court order that told this client you cannot file again for a two-year period. I told this to the client. He says, well, I didn't know that order was entered. So what the client just told, what I just relayed from the client, I didn't know you cannot use that as any kind of a defense when you represent yourself. The law says that you are presumed to know the law, which means procedure, how to do things, what to do things, what to do, where to look things up. So this is one of the fallacies of representing yourself and handling your own case, particularly a bankruptcy, because you're not going to know. So what happened to this client? I told him that this was not something that I would represent him on. I told him to go to court, hat in hand, so to speak, be very humble, and indicate to the judge that he is very sorry for his actions and indicate that he wouldn't file for a couple of years. I don't think he was barred. I don't think that would happen. There would be a specific time period for not filing. I don't remember the client's name. I can't look it up, and that's fine. You know, I'm not disclosing who people are anyway. But that's sort of a little bit of a wacky situation. And now, because of what he tried to do, he's going to be out of luck, and creditors will be coming after him.
Wow. What I'm just trying to think if a. I suppose the court can bar. Can they bar? I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
They could bar.
Well, it's called abuse. You're abusing the bankruptcy system.
Is this sort of like contempt of court in civil court, and it can be one of the remedies for a contempt of court?
In a way, or it's sort of like some people who file their own lawsuits coming up with crazy theories against the government or against companies that have no basis in law, and they keep suing and get thrown out of court. The court system is open in the U.S. for anyone, but there's
serial
a point
litigant.
Where
there's a
point.
There, I'm yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point where the judges are just going to say, it's enough. I mean, you keep coming in here with this nonsense, and we're not going to let you come in.
Right. So, you know, everyone thinks, everyone says, I have my rights. I have my rights to the courthouse. I have access to this. I have a right to my day in court. But as we've been talking about this, I remember bankruptcy court, I mean, they have their own laws, but, you know, as opposed to the state laws. But I have seen that before where people who are like serial litigants, a lot of times it's people who are in houses of corrections or prisons. Continue filing habeas corpus petitions like every day. They've got nothing else to do, and it clogs up the docket.
It's a similar thing, and the bankruptcy law has built into it some safeguards which to for this not to happen. In other words, if you file a Chapter 7 and you get your discharge, and if you do everything open and honest and disclose your finances, you will get your court discharge. Your debts will be gone, but you can't file for another 8 years. The law says you can't get a bankruptcy discharge for 8 years. Now, the problem is there's nothing in the system that prevents you from actually filing the petition. The clerk of the court is not going to look your case up before you file. You can just file electronically, which is what happened with this particular client and his serial filings.
Mm-hmm.
There's other limitations. If you had a Chapter 13, how soon you can file another one. So it's built in, but occasionally you're going to get a situation like this, what I call astonishing client.
Right. Well, you know, what about automatic stay protection? At what point does that kick in? Do you think that the individual thought by simply filing these petitions for bankruptcy over and over that he was going to get some automatic stay protection?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. In fact, there's another provision built in. Again, the same kind of a Chapter 13. You file to stop a foreclosure, and during the bankruptcy, let's say you've been paying for a year, you fall behind on the mortgage again. The mortgage company files a motion, makes a request of the bankruptcy judge. Judge, the debtor's not paying us. We want to pull out of the bankruptcy so we can go back and continue the old foreclosure or start a new one. So if a court order is entered lifting the automatic stay, subsequently, if the debtor then decides, you know what, I really want to save my house and this Chapter 13 isn't doing me any good because the mortgage company no longer has to take my money. They're not in this Chapter 13. So let me start over with a new one. You can't file a new one until the old one's dismissed. So if the debtor then files a motion to voluntarily dismiss their Chapter 13 after the stay was lifted, they can't file a new one for 6 months. That's built into the code specifically to prevent that kind of serial filing. If you wait and let the case be dismissed by the trustee, then there is no 6 month waiting period. So there's these safeguards built in, but like anything else, they can be going around if you really want to.
Yeah, well, the one thing that is certain is that there are a lot of details involved, and you know, what we hear over and over as we do these shows is that the present bankruptcy laws as we know them today, they're complicated. There's procedures and documentation required, and it can be overwhelming for anybody who's not done bankruptcy, or is not unfamiliar with the law, and is not a bankruptcy attorney for that matter. Joseph Robel, as we've talked about, has over 40 years experience representing clients in consumer bankruptcy. And that experience really ensures that your financial situation will be properly analyzed, however simple or complex it might be. Joseph Robel and his staff understand that you might be anxious about your financial problems, that you're tired of harassment by your creditors, and you're uncertain as to whether filing bankruptcy is really what you need, and sometimes it isn't. But if bankruptcy will help your financial situation, you'll be advised as to which chapter you may qualify, and Joseph Robel Limited, the entire procedure from beginning to end, will be clearly explained to you as well as the documents you'll need to provide them. They'll present you with a comprehensive what-to-do-next letter at or after your initial free consultation, and that will guide you through the entire process from start until finish. Again, if you don't need to file for bankruptcy, they'll tell you that. Joseph Robel Limited is not going to put you in bankruptcy simply to earn a fee. Joseph Robel Limited is a small law firm of attorneys and staff experienced in consumer bankruptcy. It's not a big bankruptcy law factory, and you're not going to get lost in their office. But you will be treated as a human being with courtesy, dignity, and respect you deserve. The mission at Joseph Robel Limited is to have you take control over your finances through the proper use of the bankruptcy laws. Joseph Rebel Limited has office located all over Chicagoland, in Chicago, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Olin Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So they can represent Illinois clients in Cook and all the other surrounding suburban and collar counties, including DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, and Lake County. So back to our program, Joe, let's now talk about your next situation where you encountered a case of someone who tried to go it on their own and ran into trouble.
Okay, this client, the husband and wife, hired a what's called a petition preparer. The bankruptcy law allows someone to prepare your petition for you. They're not giving you or not supposed to give you legal advice. He found I'm not sure where he found the preparer. I don't know if it cost $50 or $100. The petition was prepared to do the paperwork.
Yep.
The petition preparer prepared it based on the information the client provided, debts, income, assets, et cetera. Case was filed. It was a Chapter 7. It was assigned to the Chapter 7 trustee. The debtors came to the meeting with the trustee. Trustee says, hey, I'm going to sell your house. Of course, the debtors looked at each other. You know, they filed bankruptcy for the purpose of getting rid of their debts and wanting to keep their house. Turns out that they have the equity in their home is too high. So had this particular debtor, had these debtors come to see me for an initial interview, I would have told them, you can't do a Chapter 7. Well, I'm sorry, not that you can't. If you did a Chapter 7, you have too much equity. The trustee would sell your house. If you need help with your debts and you need a bankruptcy, then you need to file a Chapter 13 and set up a payment plan and pay back part of your debt. So part of the fallacy is the bankruptcy petitions are national forms with some local variations. And the petition itself, you fill in the forms. As an attorney, I have a software program, and there's a number of different software programs. But when you're filling out forms, you're not just entering information. You're making a legal decision about many, many of the items that go in there. What should be entered? What does the question mean? How should it be phrased? What needs to be disclosed, et cetera? And it's these legal decisions that a pro se debtor really doesn't understand. In addition to the fact that bankruptcy is now so complicated since Congress changed the law in 2005, particularly the median income test, I could literally spend a couple hours just going over the median income test, what goes in there, what doesn't go in there, what is income, what is not income, what are the credits you're allowed. So that's part of the fallacy that people have when they think, you know, I'm a relatively intelligent person. I can look this up and fill this out on my own. Now, this particular client, this one ended quite well. This what could have been a horror story turned out okay for the client, except that he wound up spending more money doing this after the fact than had he come to see me originally, because I spent more time working with the trustee than on a routine case. Initially, we were going to change his Chapter 13 and convert it to a chapter. I'm sorry. Take his Chapter 7, convert it to a Chapter 13, set up a payment plan. When you do that and you pay the proper amount of money, an asset that you would lose in a Chapter 7, you can keep in the 13. After some back and forth discussion with this trustee, discussion with the client, the uncertainty of the client's income, we wound up paying a flat amount of money as a lump sum to the trustee. that the client borrowed from his retirement fund and did not do a Chapter 13, kept it as a Chapter 7. In the long run, the client thought that this would be better than being involved in a five-year payment plan where the income was a little uncertain. So this turned out okay. It could have been better had he had an attorney from the beginning. Of course, not necessarily didn't have to be me. There's plenty of competent attorneys out there, but an experienced local attorney for bankruptcy is just an absolute must.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yes.
Man, husband and wife could have lost their house unnecessarily. Again.
Yeah.
It's and when you go through the process and you're reviewing the paperwork that the attorney produces, I can see how a lot of people assume and look at that and says, well, that's pretty simple. That makes sense. I could have figured that out myself. But again, the clients don't always know the hoops that lawyers have to go jump through, and it's like checklists you have to go through in your head. You were saying just about the median income test. There are a lot of assumptions and things that go on that the clients don't necessarily see that part of the process. Let's talk about, we have a few minutes to talk about your third situation. Things always come in three, and in this case, again, we're talking about stories of people who try to go it on their own, do their own bankruptcy, and danger, danger. You might be stepping into a pit of snakes and you don't even know it.
Okay, and the third one, I filed an appearance for this client, filed his own Chapter 7 all by himself, went to the meeting with the trustee. Trustee wants to deny the discharge based upon fraud or based upon not disclosing transfers. So if you sell anything within 2 years of the filing of a bankruptcy or transfer something out of your name within 2 years of the filing date of the bankruptcy, there is a section in the bankruptcy petition where you have to provide the information. And I'll read the language to you. List all other property, comma, other than property transferred in the ordinary course of the business or financial affairs of the debtor, comma, transferred either absolutely or as security within 2 years immediately preceding the commencement of this case. Okay, so that's English, but I think you have to sit there and read that and figure out what that means. I do this for a living. I know what goes in there and what does not need to go in there. And the client did not disclose the sale of a house in California a year and a half ago, where he and his wife netted $140,000. He did not disclose a quitclaim of his ownership of a local house to his wife last year. This was not disclosed to the trustee. The trustee takes the position that this is done intentionally, even though after having met the client, and as I see with most of my clients, usually this is done totally due to lack of knowledge. This can result in a denial of a discharge, possible referral to the Office of the U.S. Attorney for criminal prosecution for not disclosing assets. So there's a can of worms here. What we're going to do is convert the case to a Chapter 13 and set up a payment plan to pay back creditors, which is what I would have told the client had they met with me initially. The trustee has already told me they're going to file an objection because of the failure to disclose. We will see where this goes. Perhaps in a future radio show, we can discuss what has happened and what is happening on the case.
There you go. Of course, client confidentiality is important, and no names are ever given. And that's why we don't want to tell people, too. If you have a question, you know, for some of our shows where we do the questions and answers, go ahead and contact Joseph Robel. You can just be anonymous if you want, you know, because we want to hear from real people with real questions and real problems and try to help them get the knowledge that they need to know what to do to protect themselves and to have a good chance at a future bright financial life and everything. And that's why we're, you know, today is all about, you know, whether you hire Joseph Robel Limited or hire another bankruptcy attorney, don't do some of these things on your own, because it's the unknown unknowns. You don't know where you're stepping into a trap because you don't have the experience. You wouldn't see it. You'd walk right into it. So, Joe, why don't you tell the folks at home how they can get in touch with you if they have questions or want to continue with some of the things that we talked about today?
Well, there's a couple different ways to communicate with me. Email is always great because it allows for some time to think the answers through that clients have with questions. Joseph Robel, W-R-O-B-E-L, all one word, at chicagobankruptcy.com. Our website, chicagobankruptcy.com, with lots of information. AVO, A-V-V-O.com, if you want to check on what other clients have thought about the services we've provided. And, of course, good old-fashioned telephone, 312-781-0996. I like my clients to be informed. I like them to understand. It's easier for me to represent someone when they understand the process, what they need to do, and we are always open for questions.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, a great way to understand the process and learn more about bankruptcy is to visit the website, chicagobankruptcy.com, because on that website we have a host of blog articles, these radio shows, and other resources. Likely, if you have a question, you could probably just go within the search function of the website and ask your question and probably find some content that we've worked hard to produce that will give you that answer. So you'll know what you're talking about and know more about what you can and can't do. There's information on the website about the difference between Chapter 13 and Chapter 7 bankruptcies, all sorts of good stuff. We also want to encourage everyone to please share the comment when you find these programs or blog articles or social media posts you think are relevant and helpful to other people. It's so important to share those in your own social networks, you know, for the benefit of other people who don't necessarily come out from the woodwork and said, hey, I'm looking for a bankruptcy lawyer. You know, a good way is just to hit that share button and they say, this is great advice for anyone who's looking for information on bankruptcy. So that's how, you know, it takes a village sometimes. And, you know, that's why we, you know, put on all these programs to help people find the information that they need to do to be, you know, more better educated and more aware of the whole concept of what works in bankruptcy and listen to an expert, not the person behind you in the grocery store line. So, Joe, I want to thank you again for your time. Again, for people listening at home, you can always talk to Joe by dialing 312-781-0996 and the other contact information that he provided. Keep an eye out for our next program and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Nick.
Talk to you soon.